Hi, I'm Nicole.
And I'm Monica.
And we're two fangirls who like to talk about media and knit. This is our podcast, While We Were Knitting. This month, we watched season one and two of Fleabag, a miniseries set in London about a woman in her early 30s whose life is a pretty big mess. It stars Phoebe Waller-Bridge as the main character, Fleabag, who is constantly breaking the fourth wall to talk to the audience about the various shenanigans in her life. I knit the Honeycomb Scarf by Nancy Marchant.
I finished knitting the Mokume shawl by Jennifer Weissman,
Yay!
and I started the Musselburgh hat by Isolde Teague.
Very cool. So, Monica, I have seen this show before. I loved it. And you were a little more hesitant because dry humor is not typically your thing. So we had a quick, we didn't talk about how you felt about it, but I was like, listen, if you hate it, we're gonna have to, I'm going to need to process that for like a solid 10 minutes up top. So what were your thoughts about this show?
It's funny. So I was, I started watching it. Now she was the perfect actress for this role. And I think is she the writer? Or
Yep. It was
yes, she.
initially a one-woman show that she did that
Yeah.
she then adapted for TV.
Like amazing, amazing. Like I could definitely see how this is a one-woman show. And I came into it not really having any idea what it was going to be about. And it was the kind of thing I would 100% never ever have watched unless you had gotten me to watch it. I don't think I'm ever gonna watch it again, but when I was watching it, it was incredibly compelling. Like I would at the end of an episode the next day, I would be like, oh, I have to watch the next episode. Oh God, do I have to watch the next episode? Yeah, I have to watch the next episode. I was talking about it with another friend because she knows me very well, and I was like, yeah, I'm watching Fleabag. She's like, you're watching that. Because she knows that my tolerance for cringe humor, or my tolerance for humiliation porn, basically, is very, very, very low. It's why I can't watch things like Big Bang Theory, etc. But the impression that I got from it is that, yeah, her life is an unholy mess. She gets herself into these situations, but people are not laughing at her. I mean, well, sometimes they are laughing at her. A lot of the time, she is laughing at herself, or she is laughing at everyone else while her life goes down in these like utter flames.
I think up top, because I forgot to say this, I don't think we can make it through this episode without saying fuck. Like, you can't. And then also, if you're somebody who needs trigger warnings, just like go and check them because there's, a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But
Yes.
yeah.
Yes. All the trigger warnings. Many,
You
many trigger
many,
warnings.
yes.
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah, her life is a real mess.
Oh my God, her life is it is such a mess. And a lot of it is very much I think what made it tolerable, I don't know if you'd consider tolerable the right word, but I think the thing that made it watchable for me was that her life is a mess, and a lot of it really is a mess of her own making, which is very different from like the world is laughing at you. You're like, you did this to yourself. You're kind of laughing at everyone else. You're sort of laughing at yourself too. Like she knows her life is a mess. It's not a surprise to her. She doesn't know how to get out of it, but yeah, it's there, and it is something. Like there was this like little knot in my stomach through quite a lot of it.
Yeah, I had originally watched this, I think in like fall of 2020, shortly after the second season came out. And one of the things that I can't imagine watching is not knowing if there was going to be a second season and watching that final episode of season one where
Oh my
everything goes
God.
wrong.
Yeah.
Literally everything that can possibly go wrong goes wrong. Phoebe's like, her sister has decided to like side with her awful husband and
Oh
siding
God,
with
that
her.
husband. The worst.
Her awful godmother has like humiliated her and just like made her nothing. And her father has sided with
awful
the awful
godmother.
godmother, who is his partner now. And the man who she was kind of taking for granted, but was like, yeah, he's quite attractive, has just been like, actually, I'm not in love with you. I'm in love with somebody else. Just everything that could go wrong has gone wrong. And she goes back to that cafe and is thinking about her friend Boo, who starting, we find out in the first episode, kind of accidentally killed herself.
Yes, exactly. She meant to hurt her finger and ended up being like whacked into traffic because she got hit by a bike. Yeah.
And you see her standing where we had those flashbacks of Boo, and you're sitting there going, oh my God, is she about to kill herself? And the kind of one shining light at the end of the tunnel of a very bleak episode is ultimately she looks around, she looks at her failing cafe and is like, no, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. I am at the lowest point I have ever been at, but I'm not going to kill myself. And then the man from the bank comes in and is like, let's try this again.
One of the things I did really like, especially much more of the first season than in the second season, because obviously the second season is, established characters and all that. One of the things that I really liked is that a lot of the people that I did not ever expect to see again in future episodes keep coming back. And
Yes.
I like that man from the bank, that horrible, horrible thing in the bank where she like pulls her shirt up to wipe her face. I've totally done that. I have 100% pulled my shirt up to wipe my face, forgetting I didn't have something else underneath it. Of course, I was never accused of trying to seduce the person giving me a loan. The fact that he like keeps popping up and actually becomes like a really important character in her life. I was like, oh, I really like it when there's like recurring actors and recurring characters in very, very minor roles who then become important.
Yeah, I think they did a good job of creating something that felt very coherent in terms of
Yes.
this is somebody's life, and these are the people that she sees as part of that life.
Yeah. And the fact that it's like small reveals over time, like, oh, she opened this cafe with her friend Boo. Well, her friend Boo is dead. And how did she die? Well, she accidentally stepped into traffic. Well, why did she accidentally step into traffic? Well, her, the guy she was seeing cheated on her with someone else. And then that reveal in that last episode, I did not see that one coming.
Oh God, yeah.
I
Yeah.
was like,
No, that's why we have to swear. We have to
oh,
swear
shit.
for this episode. You can't not swear. Yeah,
Right.
no.
And right. When her sister was like, how can I trust you after what happened with Boo? I was like, what? Wait, what? Oh my God.
And that's what she spent the entire, as she said that, and as you learn that information, you're like, oh, that's what you've spent these entire six episodes refusing to think about. You
Yep.
refuse to think about this.
Yep.
Now it's finally coming out, and we as the audience are finally seeing it.
It's a great representation of like third person limited POV done in a film form. And I don't think I've ever seen it done quite that effectively before.
Yeah, I mentioned last month that I was going to go see Persuasion. Henry Golding was great in Persuasion. The rest of the movie, well, pretty much the rest of the movie was complete garbage. Like, I'm still angry that like I got to see it with friends, which was nice because we were all like, this is the worst thing ever. But it was trying to do that same situation where the main character was addressing the audience. And I was like, somebody watched Fleabag and was like, this is really cool, which is accurate, but Persuasion cannot carry it off at all. So I think having Phoebe Waller-Bridge as Fleabag allows us to carry it off. And like the show is very much built about her talking to us and what she tells us and what she doesn't tell us. And also, it's really interesting. I noticed this time she's right most of the time, but the series is very careful to say she's not always right.
No, yes. Yeah.
Like, she's like, oh, Claire isn't going to eat this cake. And then Claire starts eating the cake and she kind of like looks at Claire and then like looks at us like, what?
Yeah, right. When she's right, she is often very right, but she is wrong often enough that you can't trust her.
Yeah. And that's really, really powerful for us as an audience to be like, she's not always right. Because I think they're in a lesser hand. She could always be right and that would be bad. Like, I
Yeah,
don't want to be right
it would
for
not be interesting if she were always right.
Getting into the second season when her relationship with the hot priest starts developing and they start becoming closer, and he clocks that she's talking to us.
I know, I love that. Like he's like, "Where did you go?" And I'm like, "Oh my God." Like the fact that someone is calling her out on breaking the fourth wall, I'm like, "My brain, I don't know that. What's happening here?"
First, he's like, where did you go? And then he's like, I heard what you said. And nobody else has ever heard what she said. And then there's even the point where she's at the church with him and he's like, plastered out of his mind. And she looks at us and he literally turns and looks at us and you're like, oh my God, he
Right.
can
I was
see
like, what
us.
is going to happen with this? Fortunately, like, I mean, obviously nothing happened with the breaking of the fourth wall thing, but like, I mean, I saw it as a sign of these two people are, even though they have chosen extremely, extremely different paths in lives, have something that is very similar on the inside of them. They are able to see each other's viewpoints, even if they have almost nothing else in common in a lot of ways.
One of the interesting parts is like whenever she is like fucking these other guys, like, she's having sex with them, but she's like looking at us and she's talking to us. Like she is narrating that for an audience. She's not entirely present. When she and the hot priest finally fall into bed, she literally pushes us away. She literally pushes and the camera goes down and you do not see anything. And it's just such a magnificent choice to say, no, this is not for you, an audience who I'm constantly narrating to. This is for me.
Now, admittedly, I have feelings about the fact that basically, if a celibate Catholic priest shows up in media and there's sexual tension between them and the female male character, they're always going to have sex. So I was like, yeah, like, because the media hates the whole like celibate Catholic priest thing. Let's be honest here. We knew that. I knew that was going to happen. I was admittedly surprised when he was like, no, we're not going to have sex. I'm like, really? That would be unusual. And then they have sex. I'm like, oh, here we are. Okay. So like I was a little let down by that because I was like, if they hadn't had sex, I would have been much, much more surprised. But of course they had sex. So
It's like when there's a baby in media, it's like, of course this person's not going to get an abortion because that's the choice that is going to cause less long-term storytelling. So it's kind of that.
I guess I can kind of see that, but like, I mean, can you think of an occasion in media where there was a Catholic priest sexual tension and they didn't end up together?
No, but I'm going to be really honest with you. I don't think I consume that much media where Catholic priests have sexual tension with people.
That's fair. That's very fair. But yeah, I was like, all right, here we go. Yep, here we are.
I mean, I would think Fleabag, and then I'm like Sierra Simone's some of her romance novels, which are wild. I can't. We'll get into Sierra.
Well, to be fair, I understand, yes, because that is the whole thing of them. Yeah. Yes. But he was definitely a hilarious priest. I
Oh my
mean.
God. When he said, fuck you calling me father, like it doesn't turn you on just to say it.
Right, I
I
was
forgot that line. I literally screamed in my apartment, paused the TV, and just had to be like, okay, I need to process what just happened to me. Oh my God, what just happened to me?
There are definitely lines that people said in this show that made me go, ah, oh my God, he said it, she said it, oh my God. Because it's like these are things that like people might have in their internal monologue, but they don't actually say them aloud. And here they say them.
Oh
They say them right
yeah,
there. So
it's so wild.
the godmother is the one who doesn't, you know? The godmother is the one person who doesn't out and say like horrible, horrible things, but she is awful. She is like out and out awful. This like at yeah, I have many feelings about the godmother and the brother-in-law, who both of whom I wanted to throw out of window. But yeah, like everyone else has their moment of coming out with a truth. Generally, it's a horrible truth, but it's a truth. And so by contrast, this like smiley fake woman is just and she never gets better. She really doesn't.
No. I had forgotten that we don't find out until the very last episode of the second season that the statue that Fleabag stole from her of the
Was based
emperor
on
is
her mother.
her mother.
I
I was like, oh
was like,
my God, I forgot we didn't find because I knew. I just had that in my head from like, and I was like, oh yes, yeah, the statue of her mother. And then I was like, did we discover it's her mother yet? And then I was like, oh, now we discovered it.
I kind of always assumed it was godmother, you know, because, you know, she had that whole thing about her sex exhibition and like
The
her the with the penis wall. I love the penis
exhibition.
wall. Oh my God. And I loved it when she was like, which can you tell which one is your father? And Fleabag's like,
Yeah.
it. Points right at it, admittedly accidentally.
No. There was also, I really enjoyed that as a recurring character, like you were saying, that comes back over and over again. Henry, the
Yes,
boyfriend and then the ex-boyfriend.
I confess I'm not sure what the appeal of Henry was. I'm not
There is
sure
no
about what.
appeal.
No, there is no appeal.
No. He's
No, he
safe.
was just there. Yeah, he was there and he was safe until he wasn't and took his little dinosaur with him.
His little dinosaur with him. I have to say, kicking off with Fleabag rubbing one out to a speech of President Obama and Henry being like, I cannot take this. I cannot take this any longer. Which is like, this is quite funny. Like, start as you mean to go on.
Right. As far as couples, I was like, why are they together? They're not together, but he's gonna come back. He did come back. Why did he come back? They're
Yeah.
terrible. They were
Oh.
terrible to and terrible for each other.
Extremely. And the part where he's like, we're gonna plan a surprise for each other to reinvigorate our relationship. And he's
Oh.
planned dinner for her, and like she's like, oh fuck, I didn't do it. So she decides to pretend to be a robber.
To assault him in the bathroom with a knife.
That
But
was
yeah,
so
like when he
funny.
was like, yeah, none of us should, yeah, we shouldn't masturbate or anything like that. I was like, oh, here we go into the weirdly controlling relationship
And she's
shit.
like, excuse me? And he's
Yeah.
like, we need to keep it special. And she like keeps looking at us like, do we fucking hear this guy? And you're like,
Yeah, right.
okay, that's not gonna last very much longer. And then he shows
And
up in
it
no. And then he shows up in season two with a baby and he has postpartum depression. And she's like,
didn't.
oh, okay. So
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. Yeah. Oh my God, at the church fair. That's what that was. Oh God. Yeah. But yes, the recurring characters. Though the bank guy was definitely my favorite. He is definitely the one who underwent the most evolution. And I did appreciate that even though Fleabag's whole life is still a mess in the second season, she did turn herself around. She really did, you
Yeah.
know? And admittedly, she backslid a little bit, but she backslid in a way that was understandable, you know? It wasn't like her main self-destructive thing in the second season was her relationship with this priest dude, who is supposed to be marrying her father and godmother. So in the beginning, I was like, she's totally doing this to fuck up the wedding. And then I was like, you know what? If she did, I think I would be okay with
Yeah.
that. You're okay with that idea.
Well, the interesting part about the relationship between Fleabag and her father, and I think also between Fleabag and her sister Claire, is that they all, especially the father, find it so difficult to talk about their feelings and about what they're truly feeling, especially to each other. One of the things that everybody is constantly saying is like, I'm fine, it's fine, everything is fine. And I think minus the one time when people ask her about the cafe, it's always a lie. Like
Yep.
nobody's doing fine, but they're all like, I'm fine, fine. Don't ask me about it. I'm fine.
Yep.
And her father having the like kind of mini meltdown in the attic right before the wedding was like, oh, you have trapped yourself up here on purpose. And Fleabag kind of gently calls him out on it. And it's like, if you don't want this wedding to happen, I will get you out the back door. He's kind of like,
He's
oh.
like, no, my foot's just stuck. Yeah.
But then they have the conversation of like, why did you come up here in the first place? And that's when she finally gets a little bit of truth and a little bit of emotion out of him.
Yes. In the beginning when she's like, oh yes, my father coped with my mother getting breast cancer and dying was the way she coped was to send his daughters to feminist lectures and
Yes.
buy them yearly breast cancer exams.
Oh, that was so funny.
But yeah, like for me, when she was like flirting with the doctor, as someone in medicine, people say inappropriate things to you all the time and they think it's fine. But when she's like totally inappropriate to the doctor and the doctor like calls her out on it, I was like, yes.
You're like, justice.
Yes.
Yes, it's
Yep.
very good. Yeah.
Yes.
She's not always right. She doesn't always get
No.
to win encounters.
Right. She doesn't always get to win encounters, and So in the range of making her own life more difficult, I totally understand why she faked like she was the one who had a miscarriage, but holy crap. Like, what came after that? Like, it only magnified just how horrendous, number one, the brother-in-law was, and number two, the godmother.
I mean, she, faked that miscarriage, but they're treating it like, oh, you had a miscarriage at us as a form of grabbing attention. And it's like, wow, would you say that to, like, you think this woman actually had one, and this is how you're treating her about it?
Exactly. I mean, one assumes that they think that she had one, though I guess it's also theoretically possible that they thought she didn't have one and she was making it up for the attention. But well,
Well,
the
I mean,
problem
they're
is
bad
someone at
people.
that table did have a miscarriage, even if it wasn't her.
Oh my God. And the way that the brother-in-law Martin was talking about it.
Oh my
Oh
God,
my
I
God.
was shocked. Like, it's hard to shock me, but that scene shocked me. Like, horrifying. That is the one scene I think I couldn't. That whole dinner scene where, Claire goes off and you find out she had a miscarriage, which was shocking because obviously that was not anticipated. And then how everyone reacts when she came back. Yeah, that whole sequence, I'm pretty sure I couldn't watch that again.
It's a way to kick off with a bang, because to watch the first season, I feel like the first season is very good television. Like, you watch the first season, or at least I do, and I'm like, this is really good TV. I started the second season, I'm like, this is even better TV. Like, how did this get better? Because the second season makes me want to set myself on fire with how good it is.
Well, yes, I agree with that. If there had not been a second season and if there had just been a first season, the way the first season ended, I would have actually been okay with that. I would have, I'm like, that is a very satisfying conclusion in a way to, you find out a lot about her, you find out everything about her, and you find out that, you know what, she's gonna move forward. I was like, okay. The second season I found was amazing. I found it a lot more uncomfortable to watch, which is saying something because the first season's plenty uncomfortable.
True.
The one thing that I'm glad, really glad we got to see in the second season was Claire leaving the dirt bag.
Thank God.
Thank God.
Thank
Thank
God.
God. Like that had to happen, and the fact that it did not happen in the first season was, I felt so betrayed.
When Claire shows up and is after, having spent like the last two episodes, I think-ish, being like, I'm going to leave Martin. I believe you that this thing happened, and I'm gonna leave him. And then to be like, no, I believe him and I'm not gonna leave him. It's just like, what the fuck is
Like
on?
the betrayal of that was just like, obviously she felt betrayed, but like we felt betrayed, especially considering the scene in which this ha you know this all happened.
After all these bad things happen, they keep happening. And like, I'm so glad that Claire left him, but they did manage to make the scene where Claire was like, we need to get a divorce, actually really emotional, like emotional in a way that I would not have expected, I think, if I'd like, hadn't seen it, where it's like emotionally complex, and you were like, oh, I understand why these people were married for 11 years.
I was like, oh God, he's gonna talk. Oh God, he's gonna, okay, you know what? I actually like, and when he keeps insisting he's not a bad person, that he
You're
just
like,
has a bad
no.
personality, you realize he believes it.
Yeah,
He
he believes
honestly,
it.
like, he honestly does not believe he is a bad person, even though he's done all of these terrible things, he honestly believes that none of this is really his fault. And it doesn't, I mean, obviously it doesn't make you like him any better. And but that whole thing is, yeah, you understand why she stayed. Though for me, the point at which I was like, oh yeah, she might actually really leave him is when his son goes up to Fleabag and is like, get her out of here. Get her to leave him.
Well, his son is wild. That's another like tiny little character that you're like, what is going on with this
What is
child?
going on here? Yeah,
He's
right. He
like,
like tries to get into the bath with her.
yeah,
The only thing that he says is, "Where's
where's
Claire?"
Claire? Plays the bassoon. The part where Martin's like, he's got a creepy personality. And the part where Fleabag is like, he's pretty weird. It's probably clinical, but we don't talk about that. Which also sets up like there are just all these things that they can't or they won't talk about. Like they finally start kind of addressing in season two, especially at the first episode when Claire and Martin are like, oh, we're not drinking anymore. And then you find out that Martin actually is very
Of
much
course he
drinking.
is.
Of course he
I would
is.
have been shocked if he weren't.
Yeah, but it shows you that this episode is going to be different. Like they are going to talk about some of the things that they didn't talk about or couldn't talk about in the first season. Although they never officially, I don't know if they ever officially are like, hey, the hot priest is definitely an alcoholic. I don't think they ever officially, but you're like, oh, I understand what's going on here. Like, you've shown me what's happening.
Oh yeah. Like the booze hidden in different locations, the Marks and Spencer's gin and
Yes.
tonics, the canned, like, is there anything more British than that? The canned Marks and Spencer's gin and tonics.
It's a very British show. I also really like the part where, or the parts I should say, where he talks to God and you can see in the actual show itself that like something is responding. Like God is present in the second season and Fleabag is just like, well, I don't know what to do with this and I will not be dealing with it.
Yes, because I do not believe in this, but something is happening.
I don't believe in God painting thuds for the first
Yeah.
time. I love it when he does that and you're like, yes.
The
And the fox.
was actually a fox. The fact that there was actually a fox, I just thought he was bonkers because he
No.
totally came off as bonkers. And you know
Oh, yeah.
what? That was okay. He was okay as being bonkers, but no, there's actually a fox.
No, I read analysis of somebody online who was like, the fox represents his lusts and his temptations. And even though in the end he chooses God, he chooses his life as a priest over having a relationship with Fleabag. Those feelings aren't going to go away. Like he's like, it'll pass. And like it will with time, but it's not now. It's not going to pass now. The fox is going to follow you off into the distance, even though the bus has not come.
Yeah, the bus has not come. Someone in 30 year 20 or 30 years is going to be writing some kind of a college sociology thesis on this show.
I
It
hope somebody had already written that because it's so good.
was very good. It was very uncomfortable. Like I said, I never ever would have watched it if you hadn't made me. But that said, like, I'm still thinking about it and I'm glad I watched it. And the fact that, like, I would get to it, like, end of a horribly awkward episode and be like, God damn it, now I have to watch the next one, rather than just wanting to, like, light my hair on fire and, like, leave the building, was a sign of just how good it was. Because it was compelling. And even though the characters are not likable, you can see where they're all coming from, which is not always the case with characters that are not likable.
That's very true. One of the things that I think really like helped me understand what was going on between Fleabag and Boo in the first season, like you kind of watched it and you're like watching Fleabag interact with that drunk girl in that first episode where she's kind of like, oh hey, and you're like, oh, this woman's not straight. I mean, then you kind of forget about it because she mostly sees men, and then it comes back in the second season. But I'm like, oh, she was in love with her friend. This is the love of her life, and she fucked it up, and she can't get over that.
When she's listening to Boo's voicemail because she hasn't disconnected the service.
The
The Missiagio, I know. But
Missiagio!
then she's like, yeah, someone should disconnect that service. You know,
Does not.
the look at the audience, yeah, no one is going to be disconnecting that service.
No. So in season two, with Boo, what we learn is that Fleabag didn't only love Boo as like her friend, she's also really reacting to some of the trauma of her mother's death because she's, where do I put all this love that I have and I don't know where to put it? And Boo's just like, give it to me. I want it. And then Boo dies, and you're like, oh, retroactively, I can see why this real messed you up.
I mean, you definitely get the idea that Fleabag uses sex as a distraction, as a tool. You never get the impression she loved Henry. I mean,
No,
no.
no.
the really hot dude, you got the impression she liked him and she liked the idea of him being in love with her.
Yeah.
I never actually got the idea that she loved him. She liked the idea that he was going to be in love with her, you
Yes.
know. Whereas with Boo, with the priest, with her mother, these are people she genuinely loved and either did not get to keep. Well, no, she didn't get to keep any of
Nope.
them, you know, two from death and one from, well, God.
Well, there's that one part where she and the priest are having the discussion, and he's come over to her house in the middle of the night, interrupted a booty call.
While she was dressed in lingerie.
While she's dressed in a coat and lingerie, and she's like, plenty of priests have sex. I Googled it. You're not going to burst into flames or anything. And this is another line that made me like literally scream in my apartment. He was like, the problem is not that I would or wouldn't burst into flames. The problem is if I had sex with you, I'd fall in love with you, and that would fuck up my entire life. And I literally was just like, oh my God, oh my God.
Yes. When he has his moments of like utter honesty, I'm like, man, I don't know what made you become a priest, but okay.
Gosh, yeah. It's very intense.
Yes. That part, I have no idea what that actor's name is, but
Andrew
every time I've
Scott.
seen him in everything else, he's always been like some kind of a weird serial killer like type character. So I was kind of expecting that's where this was gonna go. But no, he was just crazy and intense.
Yeah. No, he wasn't a serial killer at all.
Yeah.
No, it was very, I think, a good setup where he starts the. Where they start together at that dinner, and they're like talking about, well, why don't you talk to your brother? Because and he's like, oh, well, he's a pedophile. And you're like, oh, for and he's like, I know, it's ironic. And I'm like,
I know.
I'm glad that this show
I
is going to be like the Catholic Church. Some things have happened. And I'm like, I'm glad that they know about that. And
Yes,
they're going to
but
reference it.
the now honestly, when he first showed up at that dinner, I thought that she was like, yeah, I don't know who this dude is. I thought that he was some random dude that she had picked up off the street and dragged to this party. Because wouldn't that have been in character for her to do that? That's totally what I thought she had done. And then they were like, no, she's a priest. And then the godmother kept saying these like horribly inappropriate things, like, you know what? Don't you have to wear your dog collar? And he's like, yeah, I can see you're disappointed. And I'm like, okay then, dude.
Well, he's the only one who sees her because
Yeah.
she's talking to us and she goes, nobody has asked me a question in the last 45 minutes. And he turns and with just this pitch perfect intonation, ask her questions like, what do you do? And like, it's not like an important question, but like, nobody at this table is willing to engage with her at all, but he is.
Well, right, because it's at that point, it's been like 6 months or something like that
Been like
since
a
she's seen her
year.
family. It's been a long time because,
Yeah.
like, they didn't know she's doing okay, that her, you know, the cafe is flourishing. No one knew, no one checked on her, no one cared. And I'm like, God, why is she even like, she's not a great person, but no one else in the family is a good person either.
No.
Like, when the dad is talking about, oh, yeah, you know, I really wish we could help out, but we just, we're, re things are really tight because we're building a chateau in France.
You're like, sure.
Okay, then. Sure, then.
And Claire is, as always, God bless her, a neurotic mess.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, my God. She's, yeah. Bless her, but man, that's another one who has kind of made the bed that she lies in. It's just a very different bed from Fleabag's.
Yes. I also enjoyed the retconning in season two where everyone was like, I thought you were a lawyer. She's
Yeah.
like, I do business with lawyers.
Yes. It would have been really, I mean, part of the reason that that's really funny is because, you know, she and Fleabag seem to, at least before the split, seem to see each other a lot. But this is such a family where I could totally believe that they all thought she was a lawyer and she's never been one,
You were
you
like, yeah,
know?
that tracks. That tracks that this would be what they would think. I really like the way their father is processing their mother's death is by like buying them random experiences
Yeah.
because it
Oh my
gives
gosh, that's right. I
structure.
forgot about that. That was another recurring character. It was the leader of the retreat they were at is the same speaker at that other lecture that they were at. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah, and it also means that it's like, oh, why is Claire and Fleabag at this event together. It's like, oh, their father bought something. Why is Claire going to, or not Claire, why is Fleabag going to therapy? Oh, their father bought her something. It's just like, it gives you a reason to send your characters various places that
Yeah.
are like pretty random.
He bought her therapy and then was mad when she revealed it at the table. Like, because in the beginning, you kind of like think you feel sort of like this is this dude who's kind of been washed away by this tide of like crazy women and this like horrible godmother. And then you're like, oh no, you totally did this to yourself too, dude. You have done all of these things.
You've made choices.
Yeah.
The scene where she's at therapy and she's like, I'm just trying to get the money back. But after they've already kind of started doing
Right.
therapy, was
Right.
very, very funny. And it was also very funny how the therapist was like, you already know what you're going to do. And Fleabag's then, what's the point of you?
Right.
Why am I here?
Yeah.
Or, why does anybody go to therapy if we already know what we're going to do? And the part where also the therapist says, with the little collar, and she's like, yep. And she's like, just like makes this face, and you're like, perfect. Everything about this is pitch perfect.
It was definitely a wild ride, and I am glad that I was on it.
And there's a lot of things that just happen in one episode or part of that episode, but the emotional fallout for them keeps going.
Yeah. For me, the episodes felt shorter as they were going on. The first episode felt really long for me. There was a lot of, like, you're getting to know a lot about these characters, and they're not very nice characters. Like, I don't think I like any of y'all very much.
Fair. The one part with the I don't even remember her name. I really appreciated this show was just like, we are not going to name a lot of the main characters. I'm like, thank you so much. There's only four names I need to remember. And it would be five, but one of them is the same. They're just spelled differently. I'm like, that makes my life so
Claire and Claire.
Claire and Claire, beautiful. But the scene with the businesswoman in the bar was just like, it was very random. Like, it was part of a
Remember
larger
Belinda. Belinda, right?
Belinda. Oh my God,
Yeah.
yes, Belinda. It's part of the larger arc of Claire and Fleabag's relationship and like Claire's identity, how it's tangled up in work, how the two of them navigate each other. But it's just this like perfect slice of like 10 minutes where you're like, this is so good.
Yes. Again, it was sort of a pattern of this is not how I expected that whole thing to go. Like when she breaks this award, and then of course the boob bust is back. And then Claire makes her go get it, and the woman's like, "Yeah, sure, here you go. Let's go get a drink." I was like, "Oh, okay. This is not going to go spiral down like a course of progressive awkward horribleness because it could have." It could have. And in this show, sometimes those things do happen. Like, that's kind of what I was anticipating. So the like breath that was Belinda and her, like her and Fleabag sitting down at the bar and like just talking things through and having a great time. I was like, oh, it was like one little moment of peace in a very, very chaotic show.
And it was a moment of like, I think really talking about like what is it like to be a working woman, especially a working
Oh.
professional woman.
When Fleabag's like, aren't you happy you got this award? And Belinda's like, it's a woman's award. It's like being seated at the children's table. I was like, ouch, but so true.
And the thing about Belinda is that watching that, you're like, oh, she could fall in love with this woman. But Belinda's just like, I am so tired and exhausted. It's a, I think another case of in that in second season of like right person, wrong time. Like the same with the priest.
Yeah.
Right person, wrong situation.
Wrong situation. Yeah, exactly. And I appreciate that, Belinda knew that about herself and she's like, nah, nope, sorry, not doing it.
She was like, I'm very tired and I'm going back to my hotel room alone. And I'm like, I'm also very tired. So, yeah.
Yeah. I was like, I respect these choices that you are making, even if Fleabag walks away disappointed at it. Sometimes it's good, I think, for Fleabag to walk away disappointed.
She's often disappointed and usually she manages to bounce back from it.
Right.
I also have to say, just thinking about like the costuming for this movie, it was exquisite. Like that jumpsuit in the first episode of season two. I'm like, this is not appropriate to be wearing at dinner for your family, but it looks so good.
There were many wardrobe choices that they made, especially for Fleabag. I mean, with Claire's choices, she is meant to, and the way Claire is, sorry, sort of sidestep, but the way Claire like tries to reinvent some part of herself every time her life is going crazy, it's hilarious. I'm gonna have to talk about her and the hairdresser and things like that later, but yes, the I mean, sometimes it seems like she's really going out of her way to be inappropriate, and sometimes it seems like she just is. And I'm not even sure she really knows when she's like specifically making a scene or when she intends to make a scene.
And that's, I think, one of the ways that's very interesting with that interaction between her and her father is he's like, I love you. I don't always like you. And the way that you are comes very much from your mother, whom, again, he's like, I loved her. She was so important to me. But he does talk about how sometimes he was jealous of her.
Yeah, right. That like really honest conversation where he was like, you know, your mother, she was so much fun. She knew just what to say. She just knew just what to do with people. And you're like that. And he's like, and I didn't always like that about her. And I was like, yeah, you know, that's really understandable. That's especially as someone who sees his daughter in this reflection. And everyone points that out about Fleabag, that she is the center of attention, and everyone, a lot of people, like Martin especially, think that that's intentional. And I'm not sure it is necessarily. Like, she doesn't care if she makes a scene, but I'm not sure she's always intentionally out to make one.
No.
Sometimes she is. Sometimes she
Sometimes she
really
is.
very much is.
Like the part of this exhibition when she starts dropping the champagne glasses, which was just, it's so satisfying to watch that. And then it's so heartbreaking to see her grandmother win or godmother win anyways.
Right, I couldn't believe that she won. It was so awful. It was like, you know, she brought her, you know, her stepdaughter, I guess, her goddaughter here with the intention of having her do service. It was not as an invitee. She is there as unhired help, basically. And when she finally like puts her foot down about it and makes a scene about it, she's punished for it. And no one steps forward to help her. Not a single soul. Her father turns his back on her. Because admittedly, she did in fact make like a terrible scene. But it was one of those where I was like, you were justified in making that terrible scene.
I'm like, you were pushed into this scene. It wasn't like she showed up and was like, I will be making a scene at this exhibit. I mean, she did invite the hot, not exactly boyfriend, because she was like, I do want to be show up and have that status symbol on my arm. But she showed up and didn't make a scene, and she was like not making a scene when her godmother was like, oh yeah, here's a name tag, here's some drinks, please walk around. Not even please,
Right.
just like walk around. Because she doesn't say please, she just like assumes this is the way it's going to be. And I was like, no, it's you're totally justified in just continuing to drop shit.
Right. Oh, but on the grounds of not always right, when Claire gets that horrible haircut and they go tear into this poor hairdresser.
Anthony.
Anthony, right, Anthony. Hair is everything. We try and pre pretend it's not, but it is everything because we are women and et cetera, et cetera. And then he holds up this picture, and what he gave her was exactly what she asked for.
Yes, that is
Yes.
such a perfect moment
It
because
was such a perfect moment because, you know, you expected them to have been wrong. You expected her to have been wrong because it looked awful.
it looks so bad.
It looked so bad. Like when Claire was like, oh, it's so fresh and so cool. I was like, yeah, this must be love.
Only somebody who is head over heels for you would look at this weird asymmetrical bob on a woman who's like, she's not really like, her vibe is not asymmetrical bob.
No, yes, her vibe is not asymmetrical Bob at all.
No. And she's shows up at the wedding wearing that stupid little fake hair
The
piece.
extension, yeah.
That's so good.
It was very good, and Like I said, I don't think I could watch it again, but I am very glad that I watched it the once and it will stay with me.
It's just like the second season is just pitch perfect. They hit every single beat that they need to hit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah. I think if I were to knit one thing inspired by the show, it would probably be, I actually had a specific pattern that I'm planning to knit because I also love a stripe. I love a thin stripe. This is actually in my queue, is Breathing Space by Vera Volimica. I don't know how to pronounce that. There's a lot of umlauts. Anyways, which is just like a jumper with a lot of stripes that are kind of at a diagonal. And I was like, yeah, because I so strongly associate like a striped jumper or just like a jumper with Fleabag.
What I was thinking that I would knit would be, I think I've talked about illusion scarves before, the ones where they're layers of stripes, but you change the pattern of pearls and knits so that when you look at it at an angle, it shows off a message. Yeah. I would do one, probably one of those in like a red and a black, and the secret message would be fuck you.
That's so good. That's so good. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Would I ever actually do that? No, but I think that would actually work
Theoretically,
quite well.
you're on theme, on theme. Honestly, the part where Anders got the hot priest is just like, sometimes I'm worried I'm only in it for the outfits. That's also a just like,
I know. And
he
he's
loves his
loving
little
his like
outfits.
purple gown. And
Yes.
he went his got his like gownage in Rome 2 years before he was even
Yes.
eligible to wear
Like,
it.
no one does purple like the Italians. I just
Yeah.
like this perfect little character note that he loves his dresses.
Yeah.
He got himself a new dress because he had never officiated the wedding before, and he like went shopping for it and like
With
tried
Fleabag.
Fleabag.
Those tiny little like quirks in characters. There's nothing even about these characters. They're
No.
like bumpy, lumpy, like bruised, awful people,
Oh
but
yeah.
they're very, very compelling.
No, when the priest is giving the like
Oh, the
homily,
sermon at
oh my
the
God, at the wedding, and he's like, love is awful. And you're like, wow, we're going places. All right, I'm strapped in. Not sure where we're going, but we're
it
going.
was a great sermon. It
It
really
was.
was. It was
Oh.
phenomenal. I was like, go you, priest dude.
And it was so funny to see her father and her stepmom be like, what is going on?
Yep,
What?
yep. But no, good job, priest dude. That was a very good, even if or maybe because he walked away, it
Yeah.
made it a particularly good sermon.
Yeah. Like season two came out in 2019. Phoebe Waller-Bridge has basically said there's no interest in doing a season three currently. Like, so she's like, if something comes to me, but she's like, right now, I don't think there's going to be a season three. And I do think it was an okay note to end on. Like,
I
Fleabag
think so.
walking away from us. Because when she's talking to the therapist, and the therapist's like, do you have friends? And the answer is, she had a friend who died. And she has her sister, which is a very complicated relationship. But the only people she has that are friends are us, the audience. And she looks at us and is like, yeah, I've got plenty of friends. And it's like, but that's not a real relationship. She doesn't, that's not a friendship that you can reciprocate. To then at the end have her walk away, give like a little wave back, and then just keep walking away was like, oh, I'm going to also keep going on in my life. It's kind of the same message that you had at the end of the first season, where she's like, I will make something better of this situation that has thrown me a couple curveballs. It's a more cheerful situation than she finds herself because, you know, Claire has left Awful Martin. Her like cafe with the guinea pigs is not on the, you know, brink of getting shut down
She
on.
has a hamster now.
She has a hamster to go with the gerbil. They were eating a cucumber together. It was apparently very cute. And like, you know, she has a relationship with her father. It's not a perfect relationship. It's not even maybe a good relationship. But they, despite the fact that he's marrying this awful woman, they still can at least articulate to each other that they love each other.
Which they couldn't. They haven't been
Yeah.
able to in years. Yeah. Did your project work well for your watch?
Yes, the honeycomb scarf is a like basically a two-line pattern in brioche. It's technically four, but it's just, you know, moved over. So it's like I've been doing this. It's also in fingering weight, and I've been working on it for a while. So it's like I know this pattern. I can just keep going. And to be fair, I also did keep putting it down to be like, oh my God. Because just enough time had passed that like there were some things that I was just like, Wow, okay, I had forgotten this happened. I don't know how I forgot this happened, but wow, it's happening. Okay.
There was a lot of it happening. Yeah. No, my projects worked really well for this. At least one, I mean, obviously, at least one of them was mostly stockinette, and most of them was one, the other was mostly garter, which I am glad for because there were a lot of sort of split second moments I feel like I had would have missed, even though it's, you know, it's not an action-y kind of show, but I feel like I would have missed them if I had been looking down at what I was knitting. So it was definitely a good show to have something not super distracting to work on.
Yeah, there's a lot of just times where Phoebe Waller-Bridge looks at us, and that's an important character beat.
Yeah.
It's just like this quick little look away, and like all that happens, but it's important. So yeah, definitely a good show for not looking down at your knitting.
There would have been some dropped stitches, I think, if I had done anything more involved.
Yes. No, if it wasn't something that I was very comfortable with by this point, I don't think it would have worked at all. All right. So next month, we are going to watch The Lost City with Sandra Bullock and Channing Tatum. I think it's going to be very fun. I've heard good things. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Bye.